Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Pastor Tommy will be up shortly, but I just wanted to introduce him. You know how maybe early on in your walk, there was just a handful of guys or gals that the Lord really used to kind of clarify, you know, what a Christian looks like or how he or she should act? Pastor Tommy was one of those men in my life. When I first got saved, all I knew is I wanted to serve. I had no friends. I had nothing. But I just wanted to serve. And Pastor Tommy was in charge of a bunch of ministries, but one of them was release time education. And I got to serve, and I think I didn't do much other than sit on his couch and just ask him questions. And he's like, I knew he was busy and he had to work, but still, he always made time for me. I got to see what humility looks like. I got to see what a godly man looks like, what a godly husband looks like. And I'm excited. I'm excited to hear him speak today, and I know he's going to be such a blessing to all of you. So if you don't know Pastor Tommy, you're in for a treat. And if you do, why don't we welcome him and have him come up?
Well, hey, thank you, Calvary Chapel Refuge. Man, thank you for having me, and for Pastor Bill for inviting me. I love your pastor. He's not just a good friend, but just a really good, a good mentor to me in many ways. And so I'm privileged to be here. Amen? Man, this is really cool. You guys excited? Man, you know, God, every Wednesday, it's always exciting to just get into God's word and to dive in and to... I'm over here trying to fumble with some words just so I can get situated here. Boom, there you go. All right. Hey, guys, for all the men, I saw that there was an announcement that was coming up for the men, and David Zamora is going to be here. Man, I was looking at that and said, man, what an exciting. He's a good friend of mine, and so I know that you guys will be blessed with all of that. Amen. So just a little bit about myself, if you don't know me. My name is Tommy Cota. I was born and raised in the city of Artesia in LA County. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home or nothing like that. Didn't grow up with reading the Bibles or, you know, I think we went to church every now and then, like when there was weddings and funerals and stuff. That was pretty much it. I got involved with gangs and drugs and all that stuff at a very young age. And by the time my wife and I, we got married, actually, we got married in 1990. So as a matter of fact, this coming Friday is going to be 33 years. Wow, man. That's the grace of God. I'm telling you that much right now. That's all Jesus, man, because you don't know what I had to put up with. I'm just teasing. You know what she had to put up with. But when we got married in 1990, February 1990, my wife, you know, she was in high school still. Anybody here get married in high school? Like you're a senior and you're like, hey, I got married in high school. Yeah, well, that was us. You know what I mean? We say, hey, forget the prom. Let's just get married, right? Well, anyways, praise God. So, yeah, right? You know, anyways, God's grace has really covered all of that, you know. And right after I got married, I started going in and out of the LA County Jail. I spent about 6 years in the California State Penitentiary System, close to 6 years. I got out of prison. While I was in prison, my wife, she's the one who got saved first. She started going to church, and that kind of flipped me out. And I was like, who is this chick? You know, what are you talking about going to church and all this other stuff, you know? And I thought she was just going every Sunday and Wednesday hooking up with Sancho. If you don't know who Sancho is, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? This fictional character. But, when I got out of prison, about 6 months after I got out of prison, I was at probably at the most desperate time in my whole entire life. You know, my whole life, I was just empty. A lot of tragedy. A lot of things happened to me. I don't want to say tragedy, but just a lot of, emotional things and stuff that happened to me personally as a child. And, you know, I just was running, searching to fill an emptiness that was in me. And it was June 11th of the year 2000 that I went to the church where my wife was going. And the only reason why I went was because she was upset. She was mad with me. And my parole agent was looking for me. You know, I was on my way back to prison. And I just said, man, all right, I'll go to church with you. You know, just don't be mad. All right, all right. So we went to church and I sat all the way in the very back row, kind of like by where that guy's at, right over there, you know. But I was mad dogging everybody, you know. And but one thing happened on that day was that I heard the gospel message for the very first time with the ears of my heart. I was very empty. I was broken. I was hopeless and helpless. I you know, my whole thing was like, I'm going back to prison any day now, you know, and this is my life. And what am I doing? I remember looking at myself during that time, just in the mirror. I hated who I, you know, I said, man, I hate you. You know, I was dope fiend out and no way, you know, it just, man, it was chaotic in my brain. And for the very first time on that day, probably around 12 or 12:30 in the afternoon, June 11th, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and my life has not been the same since. Yeah, God is good. And I went to Calvary Chapel because when I was, you know, my parole agent made me go to a home, and so I went to this Christian home, and that's where I discovered K-Wave. How many of you guys listen to K-Wave? Right on, man. Best station in the world, right? I got turned on to K-Wave. And that blew my mind. I'm like, there's Jesus is on the radio. No one ever told me this. And little did I know, it's been on the radio for a long time, right? But I remember I was in this Christian home listening to Pastor Chuck Smith every single night. That was my thing. I would listen to Chuck Smith. And I was like, man, I want to go to this dude's church, you know? And so once I was out of the program, I told my wife, well, let's go to this guy's church, you know? And so we went. And there was a Bible college, a school of ministry, you know? And next thing you know, it's just, I'm there, I'm serving. And as Pastor Shaddy was saying, it's like, man, I was there overseeing a ministry, release time education. And trip out, I was like doing ministry. I was only saved for like 2 years. People thought I was saved for a long time. I was like, bro, I don't know, bro. Just go tell them about Jesus, you know? Anyways, man, all that to say was that during that time, you know, God just used Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and I grew in the calling that God had on my life. I began to understand the calling that God had on my life. And in 2014, we planted a church in the city of Santa Ana. How many of you guys go to Santa Ana for tacos? All right, nobody done. All right, and you should. They got some good tacos over there. But planted a church in the city of Santa Ana, and in 2014, and God has just been blessing it. We just got a new building there in Santa Ana, right on Bristol, one of the main corridors right there. So God's just been using us, and you know, and there's a whole lot of other stuff there. But that's who I am, and that's what the Lord's been doing, and I'm just grateful to be here. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Let me pray. Father, God, thank you. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that you do in your people. And we pray, God, that today, that tonight, this evening, God, would you stir us up. Lord, I pray that we would have a hunger and a desire like never before. Lord, or for some of us, like, Lord, I want to be hungry and thirsty for your word and for you like I used to be. God, we pray that you would do a radical work through the power and work of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my heroes is my dad. Now, this is kind of a crazy thing. So my dad, and again, I told you, I didn't grow up in a Christian home or anything like that, but my dad was, when I was young, he was a mean man. You know, him and my mom were divorced. He was an alcoholic, and he was just mean, you know, and just, it wasn't a good thing. But my dad came to know Jesus. And to talk about a life that's been changed, and I know that I share my story often. I share what God has done in my life often, and I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done in my life and so many others. You know, but when I look at my dad, and he and I, we'll talk, we'll have lunch or something like that. And sometimes I'm just looking at my dad, and he's like, "What are you looking at?" You know, and I was like, "Man, you're an ugly mug." No, I'm just teasing. I was like, "Dad, I just can't believe like how you've changed. Like he was just mean to everybody all the time. And now he's like the nicest, most gentle, most loving man that you'll ever meet. You know, as a matter of fact, trip out on this. My dad today, he's a chaplain for a hospice company. If you would have known my dad and who he was, he could have cared less if you or anybody you knew were dying. You know, he'd probably say, good, let him die. Seriously, that was the kind of man that he was. But now he's a chaplain, and he's just so loving and so caring and so kind. And when I share about how my dad used to be, and because my dad and my mom, they come to church. They're at Hope Alive Church. And they'll say, yeah, my dad, he was crazy, man. He was very, and they're like, your dad? No. I'm like, dude, you don't even know, right? And so today what I want to talk about is the power of God's Holy Spirit and a changed life. The title of today's message is The New Behavior. And all that happens because of God's work through the power and work of his Holy Spirit. And I truly believe that God has a word for us here today. Maybe prayerfully for all of us, if not really specifically for some of you, or maybe just for one of you. That the power of God's Holy Spirit is able to change our life. Listen, when people come to Jesus as Savior, it's not just the eternal destination that changes, it's the way of living that changes. Can someone say amen? It's the way of living. And that's really what Christianity is. It's living a new life. It's not the old, it's the new. It's a new life. I don't want to think the way I used to think. I want to think differently. And that's a whole nother trip for me too. It's like, man, my thought process is completely different from what it used to be back in the days when I was running around on the streets and all this other stuff. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Trust me, I see you. I know, right? And it's just like, I don't think that way no more. I want to think, man, how can I live differently? Remember the Apostle Paul. I'm going to ask you, first of all, turn to Ephesians in chapter number 4. That's where we're going to be at tonight. So please turn your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 4. But if you remember and recall, as Paul was writing to the Corinthians in chapter number 6, he's talking about, you know, hey, this is what you guys used to do. You used to be like this. As a matter of fact, I want to read it as you're turning there, turning to Ephesians. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 as you turn there. So this is what it says. Paul says these words. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexual immoral people, right? Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And I love verse number 11 because he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And such were some of you. You were that. Your behavior was all that. You were, you know, just nasty. You were a thief. You were a liar. You were sexually immoral. You were all those, but not no more. Not no more because of what Jesus has done. And he, as he says, by the Spirit of our God. See, Paul, he points out how we once lived, and now because things change because of Jesus. And here in this section, now in Ephesians, in chapter number 4, Paul talks about behavior. This chapter has a lot to do with practical kind of living. Listen, friends, our behavior as Christians is something that starts in us. Amen? Our behavior, it starts in us, and it works its way out. God has done something in here in me, and because of what he's done in me, and through the power and the work of his Holy Spirit, God begins to work that, what he's done in me, out of me and through me, you see? And my behavior, my life, my speech, everything begins to change. A holy life is a set-apart life. A holy life is a set apart life, and to live a holy life is something that only God, through the power and work of His Holy Spirit, can do. And let me tell you, listen, friends, holiness, like holy living, is not a bummed out living. Because sometimes we might think like, oh, holy living, that means you're going to be all holy now, and you can't do this, you can't do that, you know. And it's like, no, it's not a prison. A holy life is not a prison. A holy life is freedom. It's liberty in Christ. You know, and that's the wonderful thing about holy living through the power and work of the Holy Spirit. It's a life, a holy living is also a life of having a moral compass that's set by biblical truth. A moral compass that's set by biblical truth. A holy life really is new behavior. It's new, it's being lived out in a new way. Listen to what Paul writes, chapter number 4. You guys there, chapter number 4 in Ephesians? Amen? Amen. All right. Chapter 4, look at verse number 17 with me. This is what Paul writes. He says this. Now this I say and testify in the Lord. And by the way, I'm reading from the ESV translation, just so you know. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Circle verse number 20. That is not the way you've learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. God bless your word. A few things I want to point out here in what we read. Number one, if you're taking note, number one is this. The new behavior doesn't resemble the world. New behavior does not resemble the world. Paul, again, here, under the authority of God and His word, is saying Christians' behavior should be distinctly different. Can I get an amen? It should be different. We should be seen as different people. As a matter of fact, when you look and you study the words of Jesus as he teaches on the Sermon on the Mount, He's talking about like this counterculture way of living. It's a way of Jesus living. You know how many times, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would say, you have heard that it was said. He goes, but I say unto you, again, His authority, He says, I am saying to you. It's a new way. It's a counterculture. It's something completely different than the way of the world or even the way that you might feel of your flesh. Completely different. And so this Christian behavior, new behavior, is distinctly different. So here Paul is saying they were no longer Gentiles. They are Christians. You're no longer this. You're no longer that. You are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. If you said, Jesus, come into my life, Paul's like, I want you to know that. You know, and some of us before in our past might have said, you know, hey, how do you know, maybe identified yourself as, you know, whatever your zodiac sign is, right? I'm a Pisces. You know, I'm a Cancer. Maybe you are. I don't know. You know, or Taurus, whatever those signs. But that's not who you are no longer, right? I am a believer. I am a Christian, Christ-like. God's done something in me. I don't know. I'm not a gang member no more. I'm not a drug addict no more. I'm not those things. I am born again in the name of Jesus. I remember a long time ago when I was in this men's program, as a matter of fact, one of the things that I had to do as a condition of my parole was that I had to go I had to go and do AA meetings and everything, which is not a bad thing. AA is a good thing. It helps people get off drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. But I remember this one lady, man, she was overseeing this little small group, and she was like, hey, you know, I just had a problem standing up all the time and say, hey, my name's Tommy, and I'm a dope fiend, and I'm an alcoholic because I didn't even drink yet. You know what I mean? I haven't drank. I'm not drinking. You know, so it couldn't compute in my mind. And so I remember one day I just got up and I said, man, I go, my name's Tommy and I'm a born again believer in Jesus. And people were looking like, all right, right on, bro. And I sat down all happy, right? And the lady running the program was like, oh, she's like, you, that's not who you are. You are an alcoholic. You are a drug addict. I'm like, no, I'm not. You are. We started arguing, you know? But that's, I was honestly, it's like, I am not that no more. I was, but I'm not that no more. And I can't identify that as that no more. You know, and I didn't know, I was so young in the Lord, I didn't know how to articulate that in that meeting. You know, I just, you know, mad doctor and saying, shut up, man. You know, I'm just trying to get over this program. But see, as being a born-again believer, that's who we are. We identify in Christ and with Christ, no longer these other things. And that's kind of what Paul is saying. You know, that's what he's saying. And so Paul, he characterizes, as you see, as we just read here in these verses, he characterizes the non-believers, those who have not accepted Jesus, kind of like in this downward spiral. You know, he says, man, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from God because of their ignorance, right? Their heart is hardened. They are blinded, right? They are ungodly, shameless, immoral. And in other words, they're never satisfied. And I think if I were to ask you, hey, think about your life before Jesus and how you were not satisfied. You needed more, whatever it was. Maybe it wasn't nothing, it had nothing to do with drugs and alcohol. Maybe it had to be with money or relationships or just something, or more just pride and self, whatever it was. You're never satisfied, always looking for something more. And so this is how Paul is characterizing, you know, those that don't have Jesus in their life. They're never satisfied. See, a person who says they believe in Jesus should not be willingly and deliberately living in a way that resembles the world more than the Bible. You know, you have not learned Christ. That's not who you are, because that's what it's like to be alienated from God, right? That's not who we are no longer, right? And so, you know, being morally blind, just think of that. Being morally blind. And I think if we were to, you know, kind of just, I'm sure if I were to ask anybody or have conversations here, we would probably, every single one of us would like have stuff to say about people that are living in this world that are morally blind. You know, oh yeah, you know, this group of people over here, they want abortion, they want same-sex marriage, they want this, and they, you know, the moral compass is off. And I think our reaction as Christians sometimes is like, oh man, we get all upset and we want to battle them, you know, and give them the Christian mad dog, you know, whatever that looks like for you, you know. But that's, so here's the thing, morally, we see this, and we see a lot of this in our world today. But here's the thing, guys, let me tell you something. Listen, how you and I respond to that, it is important. It is important. Don't think that it's not. See, God has strategically placed you and I in the county of Orange County, Southern California, right? And you here in Huntington Beach, right? What is that, Surf City, USA, right? Hey, man, someone's a surfer over here. I heard that, right? But here's the thing, is that God has strategically placed us here in this part of the world, and it's important how we respond. And I would say this, friends, that let's not respond by being surprised or shocked, you know? Can't believe it, you know? And because I think when we're surprised and shocked, we kind of get this anger. We have our emotions get the better of us. But how we respond should rather be, well, I'm going to be prayed up. I'm going to pray, right? And I want to look for opportunity to lovingly share the gospel. Because let's not forget, such were some of you. We were there. I was there. I was there. Another story real quick. I remember it was probably 1996. I was on a prison yard, right? And it was during the day. And I remember we're just kicking back with a lot of guys. You know, we're right there by the bleachers playing handball or whatever. And some guys from my area where I grew up from L.A., they come out of their cell block and they're walking across the yard. And we knew who they were, right? And they started walking across the yard. And they were walking across the yard with their Bible. And we're like, hey, what's up? And so, hey, let's go, hey, put them in check. What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? You know, kind of trying to intimidate them or something like that. You know, and that was me. I wanted to intimidate them. And so we went in and told them, hey, you know, I forgot exactly what we told them. You know, but I look back today on that moment. Those were probably the two bravest men that I ever encountered when I was in prison. You know, two bravest, you know, just walking across the yard like nothing, holding their Bible. And I thought that was, as I look back, you know, that was amazing, right? And so, listen, friends, I think we can't forget where we came from. We have to look at for every single opportunity because God has changed us. By the power and the work of His Holy Spirit, He's changed my mind. I think differently. And I can't get angry. We shouldn't get. Now, I'm not going to say we can't have a righteous anger of sin or towards sin. Yes, there is this righteous anger that we should have, but not towards the individual. You know, not towards, man, this person needs Jesus. And the only way they're going to want to hear Jesus is by someone that's kind of lovingly sharing with them, being kind to them, being understanding to them, not tripping on them, but loving them and lovingly share the gospel. Why should we do that? Because, friends, let me tell you something. This is something we know. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes people. Amen? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes people, and God gives the power and work of His Spirit in His people, you and I, to go and share that message. Because that's what Jesus says in Matthew in chapter 28. Go, therefore, right? Make disciples, teach the gospel, share all those things. So that was number one, that new behavior doesn't resemble the world. Number two, new behavior is taught by Jesus. It's God's way, not your way. Number two, new behavior is taught by Jesus. And again, as we look there at verse number 20, it says, but that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. So, friends, listen, becoming a Christian involves change. Becoming a Christian involves change, okay? And it's not this forced change either. It ought not to be forced. It should be something supernatural in our life. Like, man, hey, Tommy, you know, I got so many stories about myself. It's my life, I guess. You know, I should know them, right? Being in this Christian home and I wasn't drinking, God set me free, man, like that, quick, like from alcohol and from drugs. But there was one thing I continued to do is I would smoke my Marlboro Red Box, you know, smoking cigarettes and all this other stuff. And I was like, I'll never forget, man, this one day, this guy who was doing discipleship classes that I was attending there at this men's home, he was going to do a Bible study that day. So before he got there, I said, oh, man, I'm going to go buy some cigarettes and smoke a cigarette before he gets here. Right? So I go to the store and I come back and I'm smoking my cigarette. I'm about to light my cigarettes, actually. Right? And I turn the corner and there's this guy right there. He's looking right at me. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's his. No, but see, the thing is like, I remember I wanted to force it. I got to force it. And I went up to him and I started apologizing to him. You know, I'm so sorry, man. Forgive me. He's like, for what? He's like, you didn't sin against me. He's saying, listen, let the power of God's word and His Holy Spirit change you. If you want to stop smoking cigarettes, well, look to the word of God. And I said, well, where do I look? And he says, well, there's a passage in the Bible that says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And he showed me where it was. And I read it. And I was like, man, I went upstairs like that. Saying, hey, who wants my cigarettes? I get my cigarettes away for free. And since that day, I haven't smoked cigarettes. You know, and again, these are just, it's the God, the Holy Spirit in us. We can't force the change. How this happens, guys, is us knowing Jesus personally. It's us knowing Jesus personally. Again, new behavior is taught by Jesus, right? And it's God's way. So it's important and imperative that we know and have a growing relationship with Jesus. However long you've been, some of you are sitting in this room right now saying, man, I've been saved for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Some of you say, man, I've been saved for 4 years, or I've been to Bible college, I'm doing this, and I'm good. No, you're not. Until the day that we die, God ain't done with us, right? He's not done with us until we're face to face with him, until the day of Christ. We can be confident that he is working in us. Be sure of this, that he's working in us. And when he's done with working in us is when we will see him face to face. So there's this constant growing in our own personal relationship with God. And it's not just, you know, and again, when I say growing in our relationship with God, it's not just knowing about Jesus either, okay? And I know that you've heard this and you understand this, but it's important that we need to hear that. It's not just knowing about Jesus, right? I know about some stuff, not a whole lot of stuff. I know about, you know, like rockets going to the moon and stuff like that. I don't know what it's like to go to the moon, right? I don't know any of these things. I've never personally have done all that. Listen, friends, the more that you're with Jesus, the more you begin to resemble him. The more you're with Jesus, the more you resemble him. And you know this, man. You start hanging out with a group of friends or something like that. It's so, man, my family, they trip out on me because when I see a lot of my old friends from my neighborhood, some of them are saved, some of them are not saved. And I'm all excited. We'll go out to dinner, you know, man, I haven't seen these guys. And so we go out and we have dinner, we'll eat and just hang out and have fun. And I get back home and my kids are like, Dad, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what are you talking about? You're talking like you're like back in the days again, like your mannerisms and the things that you're saying. You're like, man, I don't know. I was hanging out with my friends. You know what I mean? And it's just, it bounces off of me. You know, we kind of just go there. And you know that happens with you too. The more you hang out with somebody, the more you begin to resemble them. And vice versa, right? You start doing, like for my wife and I, we start doing what my wife, my kids will say, hey, you're doing what mom always does now. And they'll say to my wife, hey, you're doing what dad always does now. Because we're always hanging out with one another. And I think the more that we do that with Jesus, though, spending time with Jesus, the more that we're going to reflect him, the more that we're going to behave like him, you know? And that's being Christian. That's Christ-likeness, right? When we will resemble him more. Change, listen, friends, change doesn't happen because you know about Jesus. Change happens because you have a relationship with Jesus. So this new behavior, it springs from a renewed thought process. That's what it springs from. Look again, what it says here, there in verse number 20, but that is not the way you've learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires. Watch this, verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Please, please, in your Bibles and the Bible that's next to you right now, underline that Bible next to you. They need to have it underlined. Make sure it's underlined. Renewed in the spirit of our minds. And so again, it springs from this thought process. And this is the work and the power of God's Holy Spirit. You guys know this? That the Holy Spirit of God awakens our minds. The Holy Spirit of God awakens our minds, right? Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be the renewing of your mind. Your thought process is completely different. How do people think in the church today? This is a question I ask myself often. How do people think in the church today? And then I start to say, are people thinking in the church today? You know, I really believe that God wants his people to think. Think biblically. Think about society and think about culture. Think about your neighborhood. Think about your neighbors. Think about your workplace. Think about your family. But think about these things biblically, through a biblical lens. Spend time with Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do? See, because I really think that, well, I believe that if God's people are thinking biblically of how to approach life and how to do things, you know, this renewed behavior, they're not going to want to tolerate sin in their life. And I think there's a lot of Christians today, a lot of believers that, well, they tolerate sin. Ah, it's just the way it is. It's our culture. It's our society. It's just what's going on in our world today, you know? And people say, oh, well, Dave, man, don't trip, man. God is love. So it should be tolerated. God loves them. Leave alone. No, God loves them so much that he's put you right there to go tell them about the cross, to go tell them that Jesus died on the cross for their sin, for their guilt, to free them from all these things. See, we need to love people enough to point them to Jesus. Not say, oh, Jesus loves them, leave them alone. Love them enough to point them to Jesus. Because remember, such were some of you and your behavior, and you've changed. See, God changes us. He does something in our hearts and in our minds. You know, I think of the woman at the that was caught in adultery. You guys remember that passage in the Gospels? And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they bring this woman to Jesus. And Jesus, she's been caught, you know, in adultery with Sancho. There, you know, and he went running out the door. But we got her. What are you going to do? You know, because Moses says that we should kill her. What do you say? What's going on with you, right? They were doing all this to test him. And what did Jesus do? We all know the story. Jesus got down and he was right there and he started writing in the sand and in the dirt. We don't know exactly what he's writing, a lot of speculation of what he's writing. Perhaps maybe the names and all the sins of all these religious leaders that were there, right? And then he gets up and says, hey, he who's without sin, cast the first stone. Who wants to talk now? You know what I mean? Like, oh, dude, I'm out. You know, I'm out of here. But what does he say to the woman, though? Jesus doesn't say, well, hey, that's all good. Keep, go live your life. He's not tolerant. He says, hey, we don't tolerate. He says, hey, you know what? Where's all those that are condemning you? Like they're not here. Jesus says, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and live a changed life. Go and live a renewed life. Go and be different than how you are. Jesus said, go and sin no more. See, God, friends, listen, God is love. Indeed, he is. And that's the reason why he died on that cross, to pay the penalty and the judgment of sin for us. And the result of that, you know, this is salvation, right? This is what salvation really truly is. The result is a forgiven life and a changed life by the Spirit of God. Tommy, what happened to you? Man, Jesus came into my life. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit now. You know? That's what happened. Lastly, as we begin to close this, new behavior happens when Christians take action. New behavior happens when the Christian take action. Again, here he talks about, here Paul says, and to, he says, talks about the putting off, right? Put off the old self. And then we see down there, you know, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. Put off the old self, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self. I love this. He said, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Holy living. Holy living by the power of God's Holy Spirit. It begins in our mind, and it's something we also put effort in by taking action. The contrast, the new man, the new you as a man or a woman should be a complete contrast to the old man. We become new creations, the Bible tells us, the day that we accept Christ as Savior. Brand new, changed, different. See, there's this putting off, and the putting on is a behavior that reflects our attitude. I'll say that again if you're taking note. The putting off and the putting on is a behavior that reflects our attitude. It's practical action. And that's one of the wonderful things I love about Christianity is that it's practical action. You know, we get to do. We get to partake. We get to put our hands to the plow. We get to work out our own salvation. Think of that. From the scandalous, lying, perverted life and selfish thinking, right? Suddenly now it's nice. It's smiling. It's being courteous. It's being unselfish, right? Selfless. It's being others-centered. Some of the things I can remember about myself was when I first got saved, this is going to trip some of you out, is that I began to fall in love with flowers. No lie. I remember that outside this program, it was the Salvation Army. They had this garden of all these plants and flowers. And my mom had come for the very first time to come and visit me. And it was actually, I had a pass. And so we're walking out. And I remember my mom, I follow my mom, and I'm all these flowers right here. And I was like, Mom, hold on, look at this. I was like, look at this flower. She's like, well, no, I got flowers like this at home. I go, Mom, no, it's purple and like red. Like, how did this happen? You see, it's a new self. Things begin to change. You begin to look at things differently. See, and this is the whole thing about changing, is that it eventually affects every aspect of our life. It affected the way I began to dress. I remember I would dress like all just like a gang member, you know? And some of you are like, you kind of still do, Tommy. No, but I'm talking about an active gang member, you know what I mean? And just bald head and, you know, and man, I'll never forget the very first time I bought my Hawaiian shirt. You know, I was going to Calvary Chapel. I was like, man, everybody's got Hawaiian shirts, you know? Not even Hawaiian, you know? So I want to get one, you know? So it just didn't work for me, you know what I mean? It's just like, my wife, like, what are you doing? You're wearing chanclas. Go put some shoes on, you know? Chanclas, sandals, you know, flip-flops, you know? It's like, well, this is what they is. No, go change, you know? But the whole thing has just began to change, right? I did one of my very first funerals was for a friend of mine he was killed, right? He was killed and a lot of my homeboys were there. And one of the guys that was in prison with, that we did a lot of crimes together, he actually had just got out of prison, right? And I get to share, I'm talking about the gospel. And he's looking at me, you know, he's tripping out, like, what? And I'm wearing a suit and a tie and everything. And afterwards he comes and he walked, I'm standing right here, he walked all the way around me, like checking me out, like, hey, Holmes, like, what happened to you? And I was like, man, Jesus, bro. He's like, dude, you even talk different. You walk different. You know, it was so funny. I was busting up, but, you know, this change that God does in us, the power and the work of his Holy Spirit, the new man that we put on, guys, it's a supernatural work of God, and the change happens effortlessly. You know, that's by abiding in Christ and bearing fruit. You don't got to try. It just happens. My orange tree that I have in my backyard doesn't try to produce oranges. You know, it's not in the backyard like shaking, you know. You know, what's up with your orange tree, bro? Man, it's trying to produce an orange. Nah, it just happens. It's natural. That's what happens with us. See, the new man who God wants you and I to be, the new woman that God wants you to be, ladies, is righteous and holy. righteous and holy. And these are things that we don't have to try to do. It's the work of God's Spirit in us that produces these things. Righteous, the idea of righteous is the desire to do what is right in the eyes of God. That's very simple. Holiness is a sanctified, set apart life, right? To make much of Jesus. And it's not a life of imprisonment. It's not a life of being bummed out. I can't do any fun things now because I'm a Christian. No way, man. It's much more fun to be a Christian than it is to live a life without Jesus, right? Man, so much more fun. I used to say funner, but I don't know if that's a word. But anyways, it's more fun, right? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm reading more. Listen, the new behavior can't happen in your own strength. Maybe you're here today and you're like, you know, I want things to change in my life. I'm tired of doing all these things. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of slipping up here. I'm tired of looking at pornography. I'm tired of arguing with my spouse. I'm tired of just this anger. We go to church, but there's anger and all. I'm tired. And how do I change that? And let me tell you, you can't make that change. You need to ask Jesus. You need to ask God, fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord, because only you can make this happen. Only you can work this in me and through me. Only through the power and the work of God's Holy Spirit. That's how that happens. It's truly a work of God's grace through His Spirit. And that's the wonderful thing, I think, about Christianity, is that we just ask, Lord, help me. God, I need you. God, fill me. And when we ask, God fills. He doesn't hold back. Amen? Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for the power and work of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that when we confess you as our Savior, that you don't leave us, but you give to us the work of your Spirit, which transforms our hearts and our minds, and we are renewed. Our thought process is different, and our behavior changes. And God, we know that it's something that we can't force, but it's something to where we yield and surrender to you, and you begin to do that work. Because you are a God of grace and you are a God of change. You change us. Right now, if you're like, you know, I've been going through a lot of things in my life and I love Jesus, but there's some changes in my life that I need to make. Who knows what it is? Again, it can be anything. It could be some of those things that I mentioned, like pornography, addiction, alcohol, lying. You know, maybe just being flirtatious with people you know you shouldn't be flirtatious with. And it's a stumbling thing. And you want to change these things. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's arguing in your home. And it's just the anger. It's only through the work of Jesus and His Spirit that these things can change. If there's anything else that I didn't mention, but you know you need to change it, and you want to ask God to fill you with the Spirit to do that, I'm going to ask you right now, do something bold. Just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet right now. I know it's a humbling thing. You might be standing next to somebody like, man, I don't know. Don't hesitate. Father, you see the men and the women that are standing to their feet. God, and there's something specific that they're dealing with right now. And you know exactly what that specific thing is that they're thinking of. God, I pray that you would remind them that there is no condemnation. That you would remind them, Lord, that your love is greater than whatever it is that they're dealing with. and that you're able to reach down into their emptiness, into their darkness, into their heartaches, into their hardships, into their own pride, their own struggle, whatever it is, to make them new. And God, we know that these are things that happen through the power and the work of your Spirit. Would you fill them, baptize them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, with God the Spirit today, to bring about a life of holiness, a changed life, a radical life. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand now. And God, as we all stand in allegiance to you, as we stand under the authority of your word and of your love and of your grace, we give you our praise. And I ask, God, that you would fill every single heart, every single mind with the power and the work of your Spirit now. God, would you do that? Thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.